class study in the book of Ezekiel. And when the brethren there had decided to study the book of Ezekiel, Brother Rick and I kind of panicked because Brother Russell doesn't write a whole lot about the book of Ezekiel. But after getting into it and looking at it, I think we'll find that, and we have found, that it's the instructions to the writer with the inkhorn about who he was to address, when, how, and all of this. And it became blatantly obvious to that as we had a fourth volume study on Wednesday night after the Ezekiel study. And we kept saying, we just talked about this last night. And that happened so many times, we thought, that's what's going on here. The instructions in Ezekiel about the judgments in the harvest and the meat in due season to the household of faith, and all of this is instructed by to the rider with the inkhorn by his side. And so we were, so we just started watching for that, and we've seen way more than I've written down. And Sister Joy handed me a paper this morning about all of the times that God basically gave us references about his knowledge of the divine plan and the what was going to happen before the foundations of the world. He's got a whole list of references there. That's what you find with Ezekiel when you start reading and going through it and realizing what's going on there. Here are the instructions that he's given and the judgments upon the system and all of that. So we were just really, really appreciating that. So we want to kind of share some of these things with you, my brethren. And when we take a look at Ezekiel, just in the first verse of chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month and fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." So we believe that's the river Kebar. If you look that up in Strong's, that's 3529, which also references 3528. It's the extent of time is what that means. So in that day, whenever you hear that in the scriptures, what do you think? That's our Lord's return and the day of his return. So here, this was at the extent of time. So mostly what Ezekiel is talking about is what happens in the harvest and some things of what happens after it. And we had we want to take a look at, or just hit, this is a reference for you to check out, but in the sermon book, 168, there's a sermon in there about God's infinite wisdom and love. I really recommend reading that one. And it was where Brother Russell addressed the Chinese people at Shanghai, China. And what he told them was, when he was searching, by the way, he consecrated when he was 30 in 1874. And so I think that's what might have been referred to in verse 1, in the 30th year. And here's what some of the things, just real quickly, that he told them. He thought, how could God watch millions of people get sent to torture and torment? It really bothered him about that. And how could the created have more sympathy and love than those than the creator? Because he wouldn't do that. who would want to torture somebody for all eternity for a short time life failure? And then he said his conclusion was the Bible must be wrong. And so he started looking at other religions and their books. And one thing he said that when he did that, he did it reverently. So he wasn't doing it to find out what was wrong. He was looking to find out what was right about it, different religions. And came to the conclusion that the Bible was better than any of those other ones that he had, even though it had all of this business in it about go into the land and slay every man, woman, and child of the Canaanites, Jebusites, Hittites, Amorites, and all of these kind of things. And so he decided he would just read the New Testament instead. And he read about our Lord Jesus and saw the character of our Lord and saw that, he was a wonderful representative, if the scriptures are true, that he was the Son of God. Boy, he sure acted like it. And his wisdom of what he said and everything was just fantastic. And then he looked and here, well, it's got the 12 apostles there. And when he looked at how they presented the information that they were giving and what kind of characters they had, and they admitted their mistakes and errors and everything, not like somebody trying to build themselves up. And his conclusion about Jesus and the apostles was, if they were here today, would I believe them? And he said, absolutely. And then he says, a little bit funny, but then he says, then there's the Old Testament, and they keep referring to it. You know? So he said he divested his mind of all of the creeds and traditions of men and what was taught by the churches and everything like that, and he thought, I'm just going to read it for the look to find the purity of what it's saying. And then he says the secret was in hell. What hell really meant was oblivion, being out of existence. And then everything started making a lot more sense. So here you have Brother Russell, 1874, consecrated, appreciating the truth, studying it with others at that time. So there's kind of where it's starting out. And then I thought, okay, let's take up, what's Ezekiel mean, the name? And Ezekiel means that Strong's 2388 and Strong's 410, God will strengthen is the meaning of it. So the strength's coming from God. So I did a few more searches on words that I noticed that occurred pretty often, or phrases that I saw particularly that came up in Ezekiel pretty often. I think a couple years ago we had a discourse here on I will. In the book of Ezekiel, there's 195 instances of the phrase I will. And there it's God on all of them. And then I looked up Son of Man, how many times it mentioned Son of Man, because that's who God's talking to all the time in the book of Ezekiel. That's mentioned 93 times. Then I looked up Word of the Lord, like when he was told, tell them, you know, the Word of the Lord. That's mentioned 60 times in the book of Ezekiel. Then a phrase that caught my eye, because the hand of the Lord was upon the Son of Man there, and that occurred 7 times, and it's all right pretty much in the beginning. And then I looked up what he was to say. You know, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, tell them, "Thus saith the Lord." That's in the book of Ezekiel 122 times, that phrase. "I, the Lord, have spoken it." He was to tell them that the Lord said that. That was in there 12 times. And then it's looking a lot of it at the judgment of nominal spiritual Israel, and abominations, plural, are in there 42 times. That'll come up a little bit here. And then "he said unto me," that phrase was in there 33 times in the book. So you kind of get a feeling of there's a lot of instruction going on, and the one is being instructed to tell others these things. So Ezekiel, son of man, seventh messenger, rider with the inkhorn, we're looking at it as that's his instructions he's giving. So we'll start out here. Ezekiel, we don't have a whole lot of time, and if there's a list, it's like this. We're going to be talking about that much, and we don't have a lot of time. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, "I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man." Remember, in other places in the scripture, this is mentioned about beast and four faces. "Face of a man" is love. "Face of a lion" is justice. And they four had the face of an ox, power. And also the four had the face of an eagle, wisdom. So the four attributes of God were always present in everything he sees. As you read chapters 1 and 2, you'll see a lot about this. And there's also one other thing, we'll get to it here pretty quick, that's associated with it. "And they went everyone forward." That doesn't seem too unusual about the beast, but the next thing it seems a little bit unusual about. "And whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. They went upon their four sides." So they might be on one side, but they're not turning or changing. "And they turned not when they went. And when the living creatures went, the wheels," I'm skipping, this is verse 19, "the wheels." You'll see there's more about the wheels in there too. "The wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up." We've got a picture in here that's showing about the wheels and them being lifted up from the earth. They're high above it. The earth, earthly is plain end. And there are the wheels. And they're always going forward, but they don't turn. You think about the Revelation, it's not in Revelation. But where God says that he is no shadow of turning with God. And so the wheels are fixed. They're always progressing forward in time, but they're not turning. They're not changing. And as as we see the various dispensations and periods in here, we see that God's plan is never changing, but sometimes you see justice prevalently. sometimes you see mercy and the fact that, and love and the fact that the ransom price was sent. You see the justice in the fall, the destruction with the flood and all of this. There's power, love, wisdom, and justice in everything that God does. So as you're studying, always keep that in mind. Even though one thing may be more prevalent, everything is always there, as it shows in the book of Ezekiel. When the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither, was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So our appreciation of our Heavenly Father and His plans and purposes are in the divine plan of the ages made plain on tables. Then I went and heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. So this is God's voice for us, the divine plan of the ages. A voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And so you've got the wheels, but they are connected down to plane end on the chart. And as the appearance of a bow, you think about a covenant there, is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. And so we'd like, one thing that came to mind just constantly as we look at the Ezekiel study is Revelation 1:1-3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So what you see in the book of Ezekiel is from God, and of course it comes through Jesus. How do we know that? It was the meat in due season to the household of faith. And it was sent by the man with the writer's inkhorn by his side to who? The John class, the church. And so the church isn't the messenger. The messenger is the writer. He's not the source. Even though Jesus gave it to him, Jesus isn't the source. It's the testimony of Jesus, which God gave unto him. God is the source. And we see that in the book of Revelation. Look at the humility of Jesus there. You know, this is not my word. That's what he told the scribes and Pharisees too. The words I speak are not my words, but the words of him who sent me. And the works that I do, they're not mine. The Father, he doeth the works. So Jesus always gives that credit. What does Brother Russell do in Volume 2 on the chronology? When you get to where it says Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth, right before that, Brother Russell says, look up every citation of the Scriptures so that you can know that this is from who? God and not man. And so we just appreciate how that just seems to fit the Ezekiel accounts really nice. Then in chapter 2, starting there, he said unto me, Son of man, stand up on my feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him, and or that heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. So the nominal gospel church and the gospel age were, he was going to be sent to them. And then he says, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." By the way, the "thus saith the Lord God" of how there were 122 of those in the book of Ezekiel, I've only got room for five. So they have transgressed against me. They're impudent children. He says, "I want you to go and talk to them." And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Remember in Revelation 22 when John fell down to worship before the angel that told him these things? Remember, the angel's reply was, "I am thy fellow servant and of the prophets." You know, don't worship me, worship God. And so they would know. And we think this is referring to the ministers at Allegheny and Pittsburgh that Brother Russell talked to around 1878, and that, or this is what he's being told to do. And here, that I always just really appreciated this, and I know you can all appreciate it, and reading the volumes, did the volumes with everything from Tabernacle, the first volume, fourth, fifth, I mean, all of them, did Brother Russell ever seem fearful as he was writing these things? These were condemnation to Christendom. Everything that he wrote, and they were all hearing about it, and you can bet that the ministers were reading them, because the people in their churches were wanting to know how to reply to what was being presented by Brother Russell and the brethren giving the truth. Here's what he was told: "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee." He's going into a thorny patch with telling them. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, but be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak your own words, my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious, God says. But thou, and then this is Ezekiel 2:8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Now, if that son of man was Jesus that it was referring to here, God wouldn't say that to him. He's a spirit being of the divine nature in return at this period of time. So that was a thing that really settled it in my mind here. The son of man is referring to the seventh messenger. He says, after he says, "Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house," he says, "Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." And when I looked, and behold, a hand was sent me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Remember in the book of Revelation, the roll that, or the scroll that no man could open, and then the Lion of the Tribe of Judah was able to open the roll. So our Lord, when he ascended to the Father, got to understand everything about all of the plans and everything. And now he is giving it, Revelation 1:1-3 there, he's giving it to the seventh messenger. And spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And I looked up those two words, within and without. It was on the face of it and on the back part of it, so he could read the scroll completely. And there was written there lamentations and mourning and woe. And then the revelation that talks about the role there, and if you look up the Greek word there, in the Hebrew it means roll, and where it says the book that was sealed with seven seals, in the Greek, if you look that word up, it's Strong's 975, and it's roll in every place. Saw an angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book, roll, and to loose the seals thereof? And that's Revelation 5:1-9. And then in we'll move on to Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. So Brother Russell was searching. He wanted to know the truth, like we mentioned in his address to the people in China. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. So he was to digest what he had eaten, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And then I did eat it. It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So beginning to understand the divine plan of the ages was really a sweet thing, you know, and having this appreciation of it. And he was given that, you know, so that he could go talk to the house of Israel, or nominal spiritual Israel. Then, and he said unto me, Son of man, get thee to the house of Israel. So he's eaten the roll, and he's understanding more of the plan, and speak my words unto them. And then, this is really cool too, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language. So here Brother Russell's going to Allegheny and Pittsburgh meeting there with ministers. It's English. You know, it's not a strange language to him. And it shouldn't be strange speech that he's going to give them either, because he's going to talk to them about the scriptures and what they mean. After all, they are the equivalent of the scribes and Pharisees who were supposed to be studying it and learning of it and teaching others and all that. That should have been their responsibility. But to the house of Israel, so he's not sent to a foreign land. And then he says, talking about foreign lands, not to many people of strange speech, or maybe other religions, or of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, this is sad, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Isn't that sad? Here are the ones in Christendom who had the truth, the blessings. Remember what the Apostle Paul said about the nation of Israel. What advantage hath the Jew? Much every way, for unto them were committed the oracles of God. And they had... this much. For the Israelites. Then, Christendom, though, they had... this, and they had the six messengers that were before the seventh messenger to them. They had all that help. The little flock members were actually in here. Let the wheat and the tares grow together until the time of the harvest. They had huge advantage. And yet, had he been sent, God told them, had he been sent to where there were other religions, they would have believed you. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not, and then he tells them why. For they will not hearken unto me. They didn't listen to me, and they're not going to listen to you. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And then, but God had told them, you've got to do this. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. So he was given the strength, that he was going to them in the strength of the Lord, and there was nothing they could do to reply to it. Remember the other scripture that said they would know that there was a prophet among them. Remember with Jesus, they couldn't reply. They tried to trick him and everything else, and his answers were so pure and simple always that they went away ashamed. Never a man spake like this man. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thy ears. So he's encouraging the Son of Man to be a listener. If the Son of Man was Jesus, that's already a given. And go to them of the captivity. Remember, he was there first. He was there with those of the captivity at the river Kebar. So now we're progressing a little time-wise. Unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. And if you look in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that's what it described at Pentecost. And so he's receiving more of the Lord's Spirit there. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord... Now, why did he go in bitterness in the heat of my spirit? That was rather irritated. He had just went to the ministers, just like Jesus went, presented himself to Israel, and they said, no, thank you. And Jesus even wept over Israel because he knew that was what was going to happen. But he was commanded by God to go there as well. The words that I speak unto you, they're not my words, but the words of him who sent me. So that helped me a lot in knowing, why did Jesus tell us not to cast our pearls before swine or swiney attitude, when here Jesus went right to the scribes and Pharisees when he was there and laid the hammer down. Brother Russell did the same thing with the ministers there, even though he knew in advance they weren't going to listen. And it's because God told them to, and it was the judgment time for nominal fleshly Israel and the harvest of the Jewish age. It was judgment time for nominal spiritual Israel in the harvest of the gospel age. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tebab, and that dwelt by the river Kebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. In prophecy, I appoint each day for a year. Kebar, return of the Lord, 1874. 7 days later was what? 1881. So what happens? So he's sent now to the virgins and to the other ones that were there of the captivity, the other watchers, like we see in the Luke or in the Luke account there, how there were servants. Let's see what happens. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So that is when I think is replying to Luke chapter 12, verses 37 to 44. Blessed are those servants. They were the ones there watching and contemplating what they knew already and were no doubt talking one with another about it. Whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And of course, the Matthew 24, 44 to 47 reads pretty much the same, and then says, Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And then when we look at Habakkuk 2 about the divine plan, I will stand upon my watch. So he's the one who is made the watchman. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So there was the due time after the whole time of the gospel age for the divine plan to be known and understood and presented. And of course, the divine plan of the ages was after 1881. The tabernacle itself, you probably remember that account let's see, this is in reprint 5908. There where Brother Russell describes what happened with him. I went, and this was, he was studying and trying to comprehend exactly what everything in the tabernacle meant. And he was perplexed about it, and he prays about it. And I really appreciate this, because this is how we should be when we are desiring to know things or understand what's already written for us. I went to the Lord with this, as with every trial. I told him just how it seemed to me, how anxious I felt for the dear sheep who have their appetite sharpened by the truth, were by their very hunger exposed to Satan's deceptions. As soon as you start trying to learn the truth, the adversary's in there trying to deteriorate off in some other direction. I told him that I realized that he was the shepherd and not I. But I knew also that he would be pleased with my interest in the sheep and my desire to be his servant and declare the truth, the way and the life to them. And I felt deeply impressed that if the time had come for the permission of a false view to deceive the unworthy, which was what was apparently happening right then, and why he was really striving to understand what the tabernacle meant exactly, it must also be his due time to have the truth on the same subject made clear, that the worthy ones might be able to stand and not fall from the truth. Believing that the due time had come for the correct understanding of the meaning of the Jewish sacrifices, which all Christians were typical of better sacrifices, and trusting that the Lord would grant the insight as soon as I got into the attitude of mind best fitted to receive the light. If we can't get it, there's I found in my experiences, there's the problem. We got to get in the right attitude of heart and mind to receive it. And then the Lord's gracious to present it to us, and it comes clear just like it did for Brother Russell on any items. He says, I prayed with confidence that if the Lord's due time had come, if he were willing to use me as his instrument to declare the message to his dear family, I might be able to rid my heart and mind of any prejudice that might stand in the way and be led of his spirit into the proper understanding. Believing that the prayer would be answered affirmatively, I went to my next morning prepared to study and write. The afternoon I spent scrutinizing the text and every other scripture likely to shed light upon it, especially the Epistle of the Hebrews, and in looking to the Lord for wisdom and guidance, but no solution of the difficult passage came. The afternoon and evening were similarly spent, and all of the next day. Everything else was neglected. I wondered why the Lord kept me so long, but on the third day near noon, the whole matter came to me as clear as the noonday sun. I think that fulfilled that scripture that he was made the watchman. So clear and convincing and harmonious with the whole tenor of the scriptures. See, in harmony with all of the four beasts, with the four faces, God's wisdom, justice, love, and power, all clear. With the whole tenor of the scriptures, that I could not question its correctness, and no one has ever yet been able to overthrow it. The matter has been published in several editions in pamphlet form under the title Tabernacle Shadows of the Better Sacrifices, and can be had by addressing the Watchtower. So we just really appreciate how that was made crystal clear to Brother Russell there. Then he put forth the form of a hand. This is Ezekiel 8. We're going to jump to that now. He put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of mine head and and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the way of the north, and behold, northward at a gate of the altar this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore to me, Son, seest thou what they do? Think of the Man of Sin chapter in volume 2. Seest what they do, even the great abominations in the house of Israel committed there, here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But ye turn ye again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And as you go through chapter 8, is after you've looked at those abominations, he's told to dig a hole. Here he says, see the hole in the wall over there? Go over there and dig it out. And he found a door behind it. And the Lord says, go see what they do in the dark. And he goes in and sees the abominations, and then turn this way and that way and see more and more abominations. That's what you're reading on the Man of Sin chapter. And no doubt the Pope read that too, because that issue would have been pressed on everybody. And that's B 267 there. The Man of Sin, the Antichrist. Now we're going to look at that. In Ezekiel 28, starting with verse 2 here, he's talking about, he's to talk to the prince of Tyrus. And here's a comment from Brother Russell in reprint 1237. Verses 1 through 10 of Ezekiel 28 give an exact description of the Pope of Rome, who is Satan's vicegerent on earth, where the Pope, of course, was claiming to be Christ's vicegerent on earth. And he says Tyre represents the kingdom of Satan. So the nominal gospel church there, the papacy, the Antichrist, is the kingdom of Satan. And the word of, this is 28 verse 1, and the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, see if this sounds familiar in the volume about the papacy, the Antichrist, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that can hide from thee. What did Daniel? Daniel didn't know how to give the interpretations of the scriptures. Where'd he get it? He prayed to God, and God, the God of heaven, gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation thereof. Here, the papacy, they were the ones that claimed to be God on earth. And by thy wisdom and traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast said in thine heart as the heart of God, therefore will I bring strangers upon thee. Who took them out? The Lord's great army of all the nations, world war. I will bring strangers on thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against thy beauty of thy wisdom, their own interpretation of it, and they shall defile thy brightness, and they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. And so Babylon was cast like a great millstone into the depths of the sea. And then on the foes and besetments of the new creation chapter there, I always, the first time I read this, I really wondered about it. And I guess I wondered about it time and time again when I read it too, where Brother Russell talks about Satan and where he went wrong in his thinking and what he was thinking, you know, and I'm like, and this is on page 599 in the sixth volume, and especially there's Foes and Besetments of the New Creation, is that chapter there, and especially page 612 with the heading of He Was a Liar and Murderer from the Beginning. You know, we know, as it describes in Ezekiel, and that he was gorgeous and wonderful in when he was created, until iniquity was found in him. Well, those thoughts there, how did Brother Russell know what Satan was thinking? Well, who in the universe does God not know what they're thinking? Remember, the only reason there can be a resurrection of every person on planet Earth is because God knows every thought that was in the mind of every person that ever lived. And by this, he knew what Satan was thinking too. He knows what the angels are thinking. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus. The pope, or position of the pope, was the prince of Tyrus. Here, the son of man is told to take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus. That's upon Satan himself. And say unto him, how did Brother Russell say anything to Satan? I think that's a proof Satan read this. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. You know, Satan was there, deceived Eve. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis stone, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. Workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee, so wast thou upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So the judgment was given instruction to give that even to Satan. In Ezekiel 37, you all know that one. There, the Valley of Dry Bones, showing the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Third volume, page 243, Restoration of Israel. Hippodrome Address to the Jews, 1910. And I looked up the capacity of the Hippodrome just to see if it was a small thing or not. 5,300 people was the seating. And it was full, and they had to turn people away. So the seventh messenger was told to do that. And then Ezekiel 9, everyone knows that one. That's the man clothed with the linen with the writer's inkhorn by his side. And he spake unto the man with the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels. He's looking at, he's there able to see the divine plan of the ages, volume 1. Even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And it came to pass that when he commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels and between the cherubims, and he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubs unto the fire that was between the cherubs, and took thereof and put it in the hands of him clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubs the form of a man's hand under the wings. And when I looked, and behold, the four wheels by the cherubs. There's only one place on this divine plan of the ages chart that's got four wheels leaving there. There's a characteristic of them too. One wheel by one cherub, another by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of beryl stone. As for their appearance, they all had one likeness. So there's some wheels up there that have the same shape to all of them, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. So it's coming out of a small one there. And when they went up their four sides, and they turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it, and they turned not as they went. So right here in the harvest of the gospel age, you've got 1874, 1878, 1881, and an extra one in 1874. The third dispensation, the fullness of times. The four wheels. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter. And remember, we talked about maybe this much. We talked about four of the thus saith the Lord God, and there's 122 in the book of Ezekiel. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded. And may the Lord add his blessing.